All right, this is WHUS, Storrs, Connecticut, 91.7 FM, Radio for the People. And we have a special guest today. We're going to be talking to Greg Abate in a minute. Let's start off with some Greg Abate from his album, Bop City. This is Andromeda.
Thank you.
That was Andromeda. Greg Abate from the album Bop City, live at Birdland. And we have Greg Abate, special guest here in the studio. Welcome, Greg.
Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here. It's been a few years. I think you came up here maybe 3 years ago or so?
I think maybe four.
Maybe that? Yeah, all right.
Yeah, long time.
Yeah. All right, so that was from an album, talking about long time. That's from an album that came out in the 90s. What'd you say, 1991?
Yeah. 1991.
Yeah, and that was recorded live at Birdland?
Yep, on the west side.
Right, and who are the personnel on that?
James Williams.
Yeah, on piano.
Rufus Reed and Kenny Washington.
And Kenny Washington on drums. Yeah, that's a great, great quartet.
Thank you.
Yeah. That must have been a thrill to play with those cats.
It was.
Yeah.
I'd like to do it again.
All right. So, like I said, it's been like 4 years since you've been here.
Yeah.
And
well, I see you at gigs.
Yeah. I've seen you around a lot, and you've been pretty prolific since then, as far as coming out with some new records and a lot of really interesting projects. So, I want to get into that a little bit. One of the albums you put out was Wave Street Sessions. Is that what you're titling it? Because the album's it says Wave Street Sessions and something else on. I wasn't sure.
Monterey Live.
See, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Monterey Live, then. Tell us something about that recording.
It was 2008.
Yeah?
Live at Monterey, in Monterey, California. And Bill Cunliffe is on that, on piano. And Ray Drummond on the bass.
Yeah.
And Akira Tana on drums.
On drums, yeah. Okay.
Produced by Dr. Herb Wong.
Uh-huh.
It was live. It was supposed to be at the Wave Street Sessions studio.
Okay.
And I got there. I had driven in from somewhere on the West Coast. I think it might have been San Jose. I just flew in, actually, from, I think, Colorado. So I drove there, and they said that the session was, they had a sign, session moved. So they brought the piano to a club, and they put all the people that came to the session had to go find this other venue. And they said they almost had to cancel it because the city had given them, closed their doors because of a water fine. They had a water fine they hadn't paid, so they closed the doors.
It's always something, right?
Yeah. I thought I wasn't going to do it, but it did.
It turns out to be a smoking session because you recorded it. And
it's nice.
Yeah, it is.
Thanks.
All right.
I wish that it was more predominant out there, and the record company seems to be lax with promotion. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
I try to get it on iTunes myself and CD Baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you can probably always get the stuff from your website, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And your website is?
GregAbate.com.
Right. Okay.
That's good.
Right. Let's play something from that, and then we'll come back and talk some more.
All right. Wow. We'll be right back.
That was smoking. That track really, really swings.
Does.
Yeah, and I think it's a good example of the great chops that you have, Greg. And the kind of music that really...
Thanks, man.
And it's the kind of music that really you're known for is bebop music, right?
Well, I guess I've been... That's what's been happening, yeah. But I'm pretty versatile with other types of music, like original music in that vein. Yeah, I like to play flute and soprano and tenor and baritone too.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm torn between all these things. So
yeah.
It's hard to focus on one.
Right, right.
And then you leave the others alone and like you feel like how can you do everything?
Right.
Know? And I used to take every horn on the gig. I used to take except the baritone.
Uh-huh.
And I have the four of them there. And even when I flew places, I brought the tenor and the alto.
Yeah.
You know, going to France a couple times, bring everything.
I think the music that I have queued up for you are pretty much covers all the horns. So hopefully we'll get to all the horns that you play. Now, you're definitely one of the hardest working musicians that I know. You know, your touring schedule is often pretty grueling, going to small towns, going across the country, going over to England.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that lifestyle get to you sometimes?
No, I don't mind the traveling.
Yeah.
I like the challenge, and I just don't want to have anything get in my way.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I like to just show up and play.
Yeah. And are you still going over to England very often?
Twice a year so far.
Yeah, Yeah.
November 1st, October 31st, I'm leaving.
Yeah. What's the scene like in Great Britain?
Well, it's a lot of small to medium venues.
Yeah.
And you know, jazz festivals.
Yeah.
And there's like jazz clubs in every town and village and city in England. They all have. Everybody has their own jazz club.
Right.
And it's run by people that aren't musicians. They're people that have a love for the music and try to keep it alive.
How about the audiences, though? Because a lot of musicians tell me that when they play overseas, whether it's in England or in Europe, that the audience is really appreciative of the music and really gets into it.
Yeah, it's true. They do. But I mean, when I was playing in Boston, you know, at Scholars or in New York, and the people are sitting right up front, and they come in to listen, and they're as close as you are to me.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm blowing right in their face.
Right, right.
They seem to be into it.
Yeah.
You know, in England, in Europe, it's the same. It's really good. I mean, I think the people that go to jazz clubs in New York, they know they want to hear something good.
Right.
It's got to be good, or else they wouldn't come.
Yeah. But it's so rewarding to do it. Claire and I go to clubs as much as we can.
You sure do.
And it's really rewarding, and we do our part here to try to get other people out as well. Now, I mentioned you've got a lot of projects going on, and one of the best projects that I think you've been involved in is the Phil Woods collaboration that you did. How did that come about?
A couple of years ago I was emailing Phil about doing a gig with me at Chan's or Scholars, and he said that, you know, he wasn't good fit his schedule at the time, and you know, this and that, and never materialized. Then like years passed, and I sent a track to him just out of the blue from Wave Street or something, you know, and I said, "Hey Phil, this is Greg, you know, what do you think of this track?" And he emailed back. He says, "Man, you play your ass off, and you know, you write the tunes, awesome, great tune." And so I said to him, "Do you think we could do a CD together sometime?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "But I'm relatively expensive."
And, but you worked it out, huh?
Yeah, worked it out. And we did several gigs together.
Yeah.
And this album came about, you know.
All right, let's hear something from
that.
What I got queued up here is, I think it's one of your compositions, Rocco's Place?
Yes.
Yeah.
Rocco's Place.
Yeah, do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Rocco, well, I'll be playing there in October. I'm going to West Virginia.
Rocco's the name of a club or an owner?
Yeah, the owner, Rocco.
Yeah.
Great guy, saxophone player.
Where?
In West Virginia.
Okay.
Cerrito.
Yeah.
And he had me play at his club like, you know, at least 7 times now.
Yeah.
I go to Ohio and then I'm going to go to West Virginia.
Ah.
So it's a great Italian restaurant too. And he has his little room and he has it. He likes for certain jazz fans come out and they pack the room and we play.
Okay. All right, let's listen to it. This is Rocco's Place. Okay,
I'm playing baritone on this, I think.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Yes. I like that.
Thanks.
Rocco's Place, and that's a Greg Abate composition, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And that was you on baritone sax and Phil Woods, the great Phil Woods on alto.
Right.
Yeah. Now, how old is Phil Woods?
Well, he just celebrated his 82nd birthday in Cleveland. We were playing there in October last year. So he's up for another birthday this year.
Oof. Yeah, that's what usually happens.
83.
Year rolls around, you get another birthday. Yeah. And he's still playing pretty strong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So we was having dinner in Cleveland when we got there. The first thing we did, he says, we got to the hotel. He says, okay, man, this is a great place. Great place we got here. It's really a 5-star hotel they put us in.
Yeah.
He said, let's have dinner. I said, okay. I said, we'll have something. I'm going to have this and this and this. I'm going to have the filet mignon. He says, what are you having? I said, I don't know. He said, have what I'm having. Have that. I said, okay. He says, it's on me tonight. So
nice.
At Philly, but he got out with the hurricane, you know, getting home in the hurricane. Sandy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to leave after the gig on Saturday night and drive back to New York. So it's about an 8-hour drive.
Is that where Phil Woods lives, in New York?
Well, I dropped him off at Deer Delaware Water Gap.
Okay.
And then I had Mark Soskin with me because he couldn't get a flight home.
Yeah,
so
he's a New
Yorker.
I drove
him to the West Side, and I stayed over there.
Yeah.
And took a few hours sleep. Then I hit the road. And
yeah.
I just got on 95 before they closed the highway. I made it right through New Haven about 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was pretty brutal.
It was.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so with Phil Woods, where did you travel? Did you go all across the states? Or?
No, we didn't do that many gigs. We had a gig in Cleveland.
Yep.
And we had Philadelphia.
Yep.
Boston.
Right.
And Rhode Island.
Right.
All good ones.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to catch the one at Scullers in Boston. What was the venue you played in Rhode Island?
The Odeon Theater.
Odeon Theater.
In East Greenwich.
Okay, I don't think I'm familiar with that.
Small theater, beautiful, renovated 450-seat theater.
Yeah.
Small.
Yeah. Huh. All right, so you packed him in along with Phil Woods? Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, good.
Really great.
All right. I got another one queued up from the album. I don't think that this one, I think this is one of the ones without Phil Woods on it, but the title of it is Special K.
Oh, yeah, that's written for Kerry.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Special K, I'm playing soprano on that.
Yep.
Phil's not on this track.
Yeah. Okay, so you're on soprano. So now we've covered alto, baritone, and this one's going to be soprano. Yeah.
All right.
It's a great tune. Special K, written for Kerry, who's here with us at the studio. Let's give a listen. Thank you. Bride of Frankenstein. Bride of Frankenstein. And of course, I played that because we've got coming up Halloween in October. And that was a kind of a Halloween themed album for sure, wasn't it?
Yeah, I got the idea to do that. And it was fun to do.
Yeah.
Make all the tunes kind of unique.
Yeah. What are some of the other tunes on that album?
Dracula.
Yeah.
Frankenstein.
Transylvania.
Transylvania 65,000.
Right. That's a fun one.
Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
The Wolfman.
Yeah. Nice.
The and Pentagram.
The musicians on that one. The group is that mostly a Rhode Island based group?
No, I guess Boston and Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Paul Nagel piano.
Yeah.
Vinnie Pagano drums. Bill Maielli on bass, electric bass.
All right.
And playing alto and tenor. All the reeds
and flute.
Yeah.
All right.
That was it.
Yeah. Okay. And before that, we heard from the album with Phil Woods, Special K.
Special K.
Yeah.
Right.
You've recorded that elsewhere as well, right?
No.
That was the first time? Okay. I think I've heard you perform it before.
Yeah.
And Special K, written for your girlfriend, Carrie, who's here.
That's right.
And Carrie mentioned that was a name that was coined by James Williams, the late, great piano player.
Yeah, we're at the Evolution session.
Okay. All right. So to continue on, let's take a few minutes to... What were we going to say?
No, it's what you're saying.
Okay. Let's take a few minutes to find out when some of your next gigs coming up are.
That's what I was going to say.
All right. Yeah. Let's do it. So you got... what do you have coming up?
All right, locally, I have October 25th at the Side Door Jazz Club.
In Old Lyme?
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's with... you know, it's an 8:30 set.
Yep.
I think it's a one long set or 2 hour sets.
Are you going to have a quartet or a quintet
with
you?
Quartet.
Quartet.
Yeah.
Good.
Kent Hewitt, piano.
Oh, Kent's great.
John Grieco on drums and Phil Bowler.
Oh, Phil. Phil's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I've known Phil for a long time. And a great bass player.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be great.
Yeah. And before that, I'll be in, I'm going to Ohio. Dayton to play on the 10th of October through the 21st, and then I'll get home on the 21st.
You're going to be playing in Dayton, Ohio for like 11 days?
Dayton, Cincinnati, Yellow Springs, different places out there.
Yeah.
And then West Virginia.
Okay, back to Rocco's place.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. this podcast is heard around the world and all great. Over the country. So definitely, if you're living in those parts,
yeah,
I definitely want to check out where Greg Abate is playing. And I guess all the dates are probably up on your website?
Right, they are.
Okay, so go to gregabate.com and check out where Greg's playing. And what's that?
I was going to say, like, the 27th is a Sunday, October.
Yeah.
And my first gig at the First Baptist Church with strings.
Oh.
So I've never played with a string section before, but it's all got a quartet involved, too. So that would be on the 27th in Providence, Rhode Island.
Oh, wow.
It's like at 3 o'clock afternoon gig.
Do you know what day of the week that is?
Sunday.
Sunday. Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah.
Is it outdoors?
Inside.
Inside, yeah. I guess it's getting late in the year to do an outdoor gig.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds great. Who's writing the arrangements for those strings?
Steve Martorella.
Okay. And are you going to have a chance to practice that?
There's a rehearsal, on the 24th.
Yeah.
So then after that, I'm going to be going on Halloween Eve to England.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'll be there through the 22nd.
Huh. What city? Do you know what cities you're playing in?
Yeah,
England?
I do, but I can't remember. Okay. Mostly, they're on my website. Yeah. But it's all. It's probably about 20 different places.
Yeah. Have you ever played in Ronnie Scott's?
No. I played Bull's Head.
Okay.
I might be playing Ronnie Scott's next July.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Someplace I'd love to go. All right. Let's see what else I got here queued up for you. All right, I have a couple tracks here, and you just hand me a new CD. Maybe we'll do this now. You've got a new project here, Greg Abate Quartet featuring Mike Levine, and it's a Dave Brubeck tribute.
Yeah.
Yeah, was that your idea to do the Dave Brubeck?
It was.
It was?
Yeah. I wanted to do that,
Yeah.
Paul Desmond was one of my major influences when I was in high school.
Uh-huh.
And Dave Brubeck I met in Rimouski when I was up there in 92 or 3 up in East Quebec, And he was in the breakfast room and got to talk to him.
Yeah.
And he was a nice man.
Yeah. And Dave Brubeck passed away earlier this year, I guess.
Yeah.
Very big loss to the jazz world, a great, great player and innovator, very unique sound.
Unique, yeah. Original.
Yes, yeah. All right, so let's listen to this Greg Abate Quartet with Mike Levine.
Yeah.
And we're going to listen to In Your Own Sweet Way.
Yeah, and also on that is Gary Johnson on drums and Todd Baker bass.
Oh, okay, Todd Baker's on this.
Yeah, Dave Zinno's on two tracks.
And Dave Zinno, yeah. Yeah, two great bass players. I was introduced to Todd Baker's playing on some of your gigs. Really impressive player.
Yeah.
Very animated when he plays as well. All right, let's listen to In Your Own Sweet Way.
He doesn't let up.
Yes, that was In Your Own Sweet Way, a Dave Brubeck composition on this album that is a tribute to Dave Brubeck. Time for Dave is the name of the album.
Nice.
And is this released yet?
Yes.
Yeah? Is it one of those hard-to-find Greg Abate albums at the moment?
Right now.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's coming, though.
Okay.
You can always email me, and I'll get one out, anything.
Right, right. And you do that by going to Greg's website at gregabate.com. All right, let me ask you a question, Greg. You've been doing this a long time. How many years you've been doing this, man?
Do you playing music?
Yeah. Well, playing it professionally for audiences and recording and all that.
Let's see. 1972.
Yeah, close to 40 years anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still haven't got it right yet.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things I was going to ask you. Do you feel like you have things to learn, and where do you learn from?
No, I can see my evolution. I was listening to the tape, CD, the other day from 1978.
Uh-huh.
The music was really intricate and very, very difficult to play, but the solos were nowhere.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I hadn't heard myself play in 1978 since then.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, I've got so much to learn.
Yeah,
I mean, I have my life is so busy that I wouldn't know where to start if I had numerous amounts of hours to do. I wouldn't know where to start.
Yeah.
You know,
So your learning, does that come in just shedding, you know, going down your basement and into your studio and shedding?
That's a thing of the past lately, man.
Yeah.
No. I practice in my head.
Yeah.
And I practice on gigs.
Yeah, okay.
And I try to take chances all the time.
Right, right.
So that's why I'm recording sometimes, to take chances, because I don't do things that I know I can pull off. I just try new things because I'm like that. I want to get better all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, let me ask you this. Yeah. Okay, you've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
You've pretty much had a grueling travel schedule for most of your career.
No.
If you were to, let's say you hit the lottery, man. Let's say you hit the lottery and got $1 million. Would you keep playing music?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be traveling a little more stylish. You know?
Good answer.
I get my horns all, tweaked up.
Yeah. So it's something you need.
What, $1 million?
Well, we all need that. But
yeah.
No, music. You need to play.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you need to create and write and try new things.
Yeah, it's what I have, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Yeah, I can tell when I was younger I had that passion to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just didn't, I guess I was playing music in junior high school and I kept playing it.
Right.
You know, so then I became what I am.
Yeah.
I didn't think about being a musician.
Yeah.
I just became one somehow.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't say I was going to be one.
Yeah, but it happened.
Yeah, it just happened.
Yeah, well, I'm not a musician, but I need the music also. It's part of me. I need it, and I'm always learning. Wow. Well, talking to people like you and other musicians, I learn a lot about the music, and I find it fascinating, and you know.
Well, the music is like infinity. You know, you can't imagine infinity, right?
Right, right.
I realized that the music, when I teach class and I tell them, this is infinity right here, just this two measures, you don't even know.
Yeah.
The possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. You can't write everything down that you can do with the notes.
Yeah, how many notes in the scale?
12.
12 notes and an infinite number of possibilities you can do with that.
Yeah, with time and space,
yeah,
articulation, rhythms, tempos.
Yeah, all right. Mm-hmm. Okay, now one of the other... releases. I said you've been pretty prolific over the last few years, really in outputting or creating new albums and CDs. Well, you have. I could probably name, you've probably done six of them in the last decade or so anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe more. Anyway, one of those is with another New England musician who's pretty popular around these parts. He's lived in Connecticut for a while. I think he's teaching in Massachusetts. A great baritone player. His name is Gary Smullyan.
Right.
So you kind of did a couple gigs, correct?
We did one.
Just the one?
In 2010.
Yeah.
It was July or August.
Yeah. Was that a West Coast gig, too?
No, it was Hudson River.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was near New York.
Yep.
Well, it was in New York.
Yeah.
But I just met him that day. And we just kidding. Played. We didn't rehearse.
No kidding.
And the CD is entitled First Encounter.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I never. Carrie was with me.
Yeah. All right.
It was outside and right on the river. Nice venue.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have something to say about that, Carrie?
Well, I could be wrong, but.
Hold on a second. Let me see if I can get this. Mike's going. Okay, go ahead.
Did Gary play with you at Scholars at the Baritone Madness?
Oh, we did Baritone Madness okay. at Scholars.
Okay.
That was good.
Baritone Madness?
Yeah.
Four baritones?
Three.
Three? Three? Okay, who's the third?
Alan Chase.
Alan Chase. I know the name. I can't quite place it, but yeah,
great
okay.
guy player. We were three different type of players.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Fred Taylor thought it was a good idea.
Okay. I've got queued up something from that album, First Encounter, with Gary Smolian. I've got Blues for J.C.
Yeah, and on that, it's just a quartet, with me and Gary on the saxophones.
Okay.
Harvey S. on bass.
Great bass player.
And Steve Johns on drums.
Steve Johns on drums. That name's familiar, too, but I can't quite place it as well. But has he recorded with you before?
No.
No, okay. I know him from somewhere. All right, so we're gonna go out with that one. Blues for J.C.
Yeah.
with Gary Smolian.
Yeah.
Greg, thanks so much for coming on the air. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me,
yeah.
Gary. And I hope that people can come out and say hello and the local people to the Side Door Jazz Club, October 25th. I'll be there with the quartet.
Right. And as we said, that's in Old Lyme.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to see that venue. I've heard a lot of great things about it.
Me too.
And having you play there is going to be very exciting. So definitely, everybody, come on down to the Side Door Cafe. In Old Lyme, Connecticut. Once more, the date, October 25th. All right, so that'll do it for this section here. Blues for JC, Greg Abate and Gary Smolian.
Bye. Mm-hmm.